Welcome back to Life Saving Ministries. I'm Minister Linda here today along with John Paul to talk about our three minds. We've talked about the mind of our brain. We began on the mind of our heart last week, and we will finish that along with the mind of our reins. We must have a mindset put in place, promising to keep Christ in our conscious remembrance at all times. That mind must be a determined, made-up mind to serve Jesus. Jesus is a discerner of our heart. He knows all of our motives and intents. So we are not going to be able to hide behind any facade because he sees all. He's an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent at all times. We must stay our mind on Christ to be kept in perfect peace. We must bind our mind to the mind of Christ, our will to the will of God, and our feet shod in peace and righteousness. I'm sure you remember when Peter thought he could walk on water, but then all of a sudden he fell. So what would that remind you of? He took his mind off of Jesus Christ, and when we take our mind off of Christ, we will sink like a sinking ship. We'll be caught floating out to sea. We must remember that doubt, fear, worry, and anxiety cancel faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. True freedom comes only from constancy and consistency in the Word, meditation, which births consecration. Matthew 6:33 commands us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things will be added unto us. I want to read you the scriptures about Christ walking on the sea, which is found in Matthew 14:25-36. It says, "And in the fourth watch of the night Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and saith, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." It only takes one touch of God's love, one drop of his blood that was shed for our sins, and one word, love. Hebrews 4:12 discusses the power of the word. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Men's hearts are searched by Jehovah. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Jeremiah 17:10 says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Jeremiah 23:24 says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Amos 9:3 says, "And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel. I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. Zephaniah 1:12 says, And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees. They say in their heart, The Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Romans 8:27 says, And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Our God has divine vision. He sees and knows all at all times. I'd like to stop now and have you listen to God Walks the Dark Hills, sung by Sister Nita Key. God never gives up on us. He's always searching, walking the darkest hills. He goes to the lowest depths, the highest heights, the widest widths, and the broadest breadths. He never gives up on us. I want to review for a moment what influences us the most. Our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. Remember that mind or the brain that we talked about. Our spirit is what communicates with God's spirit. Our heart contains the issues of life. And our reins are commonly called the gut brain. And you might as well look at that as our natural inclinations and our natural instinct. When you say, I think it should be this way. Our heart controls the mind, will, and emotions of our brain. Therefore, we are to guard it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:28. Our heart controls the thoughts that we think. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. It also controls the words that we say. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12:34. The heart also determines the decisions we make about our actions. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Matthew 15:19. A further problem is that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. We can destroy in a moment what it has taken a lifetime to put together. The consequences of our actions, words, and deeds can result in damaged relationships, personal embarrassment, financial loss, and feelings of failure. Too great of expectations of one another can lead to depression, oppression, and suicidal tendencies. In order to guard the gates of your heart, you must be careful, little child, what you say, what you see, what you hear, what you do, and where you go. Your eyes is the window to your soul, and we must remember that. You know, onlookers can tell by looking at our facial expressions, by our actions, words, and deeds, what really lies embedded down deep within our heart. It is not until we are moved by deep compassion that we are moved into the deliverance of God's people. We are called to be ministers of reconciliation and ministers of flaming fire. Compassion versus indifference. Indifference means unconcerned and uninterested. Compassion means responding to a deep need with a longing to do whatever is necessary to meet the needs of others. Jesus saw the spiritual needs of the multitudes and had compassion. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Matthew 9:36-38. There was a quote that I read once that said, some great people make others feel small, but the greatest people of all make others feel tall. We are called to exhort and uplift others. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, there's a difference between sympathy, empathy, and compassion, and I want to point that out to you. Sympathy is feeling sorry for people who are hurting. Empathy is feeling the pain with hurting people, and compassion is doing something about the pain. Compassion requires response. Three men saw a wounded traveler by the side of the road, and the first one may have felt sympathy as he passed by. The second indicated empathy as he came over and looked at him. But the third had compassion as he stopped and helped him. He was the Good Samaritan. Luke 10:30-37. Are you a Good Samaritan reaching out to help others in time of need? We must labor in the field of souls that others might come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There must be peace in the valley. You must stay your mind on Christ to be at peace at all times. I'd like for you to listen now to Peace in the Valley by Pastor Bobby Key.
Oh, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must travel on till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh yes, well the morning so bright and the land. from this creature that I had.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, Lord, I pray.
Isaiah 32, 17 and 18 talks about the peace of God. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting place. Joy and peace are intertwined. In Philippians 4:4-11, it speaks of this. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am there to be content." It is only through living through the life of Christ, through his mind, his heart, and his soul, and his will for our lives, that we will remain in peace when we keep our eyes stayed on Christ. I want to speak on the mind of our reins, the third mind. 15 times in the Bible, God makes important statements about our reins. Unfortunately, most newer Bible translations replace the word reins with the word mind. The confusion is that we have a mind of our brain, a mind of our heart, and a mind of our reins, dianoia. All three of our intelligence centers, our brain, heart, and reins, have the capacity to think. However, our reins have far more neurotransmitters that facilitate thinking than our heart or our brain. Our reins has its own nervous system. It controls 70% of our immune system and produces 95% of our serotonin, which is associated with inner tranquility, meaning peace. Our reins control our heart, and our heart controls our mind, will, and emotions. Mark 7:21-22. Our reins are composed of our intestinal tract and connecting organs. Scientists refer to it as our gut brain. We use the phrase, "I have a gut feeling." The mind of our reins is the Greek word dianoia. When was the last time that you had a strong gut feeling? It was separate from your heart and your mind, and it was a very strong feeling. You know, Frank Dotson wrote a book, you know, The Strong-Willed Child. So, you know, we are strong-willed children, and we can only be tamed by the word of God in our heart. He says, "Hide his word in your heart, that you might not sin against him." We must beware of, we must ask ourselves, are we operating on reactionary impulses, or are we responding, "What would Jesus do?" In order to get a clear picture of this vital topic, we need to read the verses that discuss reins and related organs. The The reins are very important. The word reins is in both the Old and New Testaments. It's closely associated with the heart because it influences the thoughts and imaginations of the heart. It is important and indicated to read these following verses. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Psalm 7:9 says, the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Psalm 26:2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins in my heart. Jeremiah 11:20 says, but O Lord of hosts, that judges righteously, that triest the reins in the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Jeremiah 20:12 says, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seeth the reins in the heart. Psalm 16:7 says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Job 19:26-27 says, after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. My reins within me are consumed with earnest desire for that day. Begin to pay close attention to your three minds, the mind of your brain, the mind of your heart, and the mind of your reins. Listen now to Carol Robertson sing All Because of Jesus. Love God's way this week.
There was something missing in my life. I knew that it was Jesus. But I held on with all my foolish pride, knowing I needed Jesus. By His wonderful grace, He drew me to the place where I surrendered to His love. Now my life will never be the same again, all because of Jesus. All because of Jesus, I walk a different road. Because of Jesus, I feel His peace and joy every day. Jesus will fight every battle.
May blessings follow you through life wherever Christ may lead you. May love be right beside you and joy and peace precede you. May God's word light your path each day while grace and patience guide your way.
If your life is empty today, please turn to Jesus. And don't you worry what the people say. Just think of